You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Joining us among the living, back from the dead, is Mike Musselman, our favorite Texan. What's going on, man? Where you been? What's up?
How many Texans do you know?
I know a lot of people from Texas.
Okay.
Come on. How can you be in the Marine Corps in the Blue Diamond without knowing a lot of people?
I mean, shit. Like a quarter or a third of everybody in the Blue Diamond is from Texas.
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Not you again. Don't mess with Texas. Yeah, all right. Leave the belt buckle at the door.
Fine.
Okay. Leave the belt buckle at the door.
Angelica Houston played Morticia Adams.
What?
Yeah, in 1991 and 1993 in the films.
Oh, in the film.
And then it was Caroline Jones, who's kind of got that... So, what's Gilligan's Island? What was the brunette's name?
Ginger? Or Marianne?
No, the brunette. She's got that Marianne look. You know, that wholesome...
sexy kind of look.
Yeah, that was always the question, you know, Ginger or Marianne.
Yeah, Ginger or Marianne.
Which one?
To me?
Yeah.
Marianne.
Marianne.
Yeah.
I don't think, who picks Ginger?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of probably guys.
I know who picks Ginger.
A lot of guys who live in Orange County?
No. Rudy's. Fighter pilots.
I forgot.
And Rudy.
The superficial. Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Or
we're not saying no. Yeah, we're not saying that. You know, is because his wife today is like a Marianne. She's the sweetheart.
Yeah.
But we're saying like in general,
fighter pilots.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys who played volleyball with their tops off, with just their dog tags on, and their Ray-Bans on.
Yeah.
Pick Gingers.
Yeah, that's, you know, you watch that scene now, it's pretty creepy, isn't it?
Dude, I can't watch it without taking a shower after. I like pause it. I gotta go take a shower because I feel like I've been violated. I'm gonna be ready to call like some hotline, and I've been touched in my places, you know. Hold the doll up.
Yeah.
Show me where they touched you. Show me where the movie made you feel like, warm. Right here.
Oh, God. It is. You watch it, and you're like, okay, this is creepy, man. Who thought this was like...
Oh, no. You're right. After that all came out, that it was actually a cult gay movie for, you know, meth closet gay guys that weren't ready to come out.
Right.
You know, fighter pilots. I went back and watched it again, and you can see all the little, like, I see what they mean.
Oh, really?
I didn't fall for it.
The whole movie is laced with it? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, dude, it's everywhere.
I haven't watched it kind of from that perspective.
Remember, like, the locker room scene when he slams the locker room and he, like, gets red in his face and he bites at his nose? Like, when he's chewing gum?
Yeah, what's he say?
That's right.
Maverick. You're reckless, Maverick. You're going to get somebody killed.
And that's right, Ice. I mean, you can feel the tension, man. And then there's, like, guys in the background with their shirts off, with towels around them, with their legs standing up on the bench. I mean, who sits like, who stands like that?
Yeah,
right?
Nobody in a locker room, man. That's not the way we do it.
And everybody's violating everybody's personal space. So like in close proximity with other men.
Yeah,
sweaty.
That's another thing. You know.
Sweaty.
That's
men.
Another thing. Everybody's got a little bit of radius around them that you don't violate.
And, you know, flight suits, fighter pilots and flight suits are like Scottish in kilts.
Oh, God.
They don't wear anything underneath it, man, because that's like their thing.
And they think that it's all part of that cool image.
Dude, they think they are so cool when they walk in to go get cigarettes or something at a, you know, when they got the Ray-Bans on, and they got all the patches on, and they're walking in with their flight suit on. Let me tell you something, boys and girls.
Yeah.
You are not cool looking.
And the Air Force,
you look like
the Air Force guys have like squadron
ascots
that they wear. Yeah.
And you're not cool. Well, they're just not cool either.
That is like
for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, there's completely like, what is that? Like stupid thing you're wearing. Really?
But if there was ever a dork, you are it by wearing that flight suit around.
Hey, did you ever meet Jim Bathurst?
I know a Bathurst, but I don't know a Jim Bathurst.
He's a he'd have been in when we were young. But man, what an interesting story. He got a letter after he was a one of those staff NCOs who got commissioned during Vietnam. And he got a letter from headquarters Marine Corps as a captain saying
we're turning you back. Yeah.
No. You are the only commissioned officer in the Marine Corps without a high school diploma. We think that you should get that or a GED. Please hurry. I said, I'd have framed that thing.
That's cool.
I'd have framed that thing and took it to work. Hey, boys, check this one out. That means I don't know anything that you know. The only thing I know is how to lead.
Oh, shit. What's her name?
Who?
Oh. Who played? What's her name? Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence isn't a high school graduate either. She dropped out of high school. She doesn't have a GED or high school diploma.
That would be a pretty interesting.
You know that?
That would be a pretty interesting list. Most famous high school dropouts.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of them.
Name one.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jim Bathurst. Mike, you'd love the story because he's a comm.
I listened to it.
He's a comm guy, and he hates comm because they treat him like garbage. So he goes to Quantico. And he wants to be a grunt. They put him in a grunt company there out at the basic school of enlisted instructors. And then he finally gets the grunt MOS when he agrees to go to Vietnam and starts out OJT as a squad leader. He's good at it. And then his lieutenant's killed, and he becomes a platoon commander. And he serves the rest of his time Silver Star, Bronze Star, both with Vs in combat because he could flat out lead. And but it seems like every time he gets called into somebody's office, and you know that's a 50-50 proposition, something he always walks out better than he walked in.
Right.
Pretty amazing. So.
Oh, dude, here's a huge list. Listen to this. Ready?
Yes.
And this is going to be a celebrities. Jim Carrey, Cameron Diaz, Mark Wahlberg, Tom Cruise, Ryan Gosling, Robert Downey Jr., Keanu Reeves. Drew Barrymore. Are you kidding me? And then it goes like their net worth.
Do we need to talk about that? Here's a few. No. Richard Branson dropped out of high school. Joe Louis, the boxer, dropped out. Probably went to work though. I mean,
I think a good one to have is Richard Branson. I wouldn't use celebrities.
Yeah.
Like Katy Perry. To say that Katy Perry is a high school dropout, yeah, okay. I mean, Katy Perry is.
Yeah, when you're an entertainer like that, come on.
Yeah. David Carp, Aretha Franklin, Joe Louis, Mike Hudak.
Who's that?
I don't know, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he's in trouble, though, for sexual assault stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in trouble. The, did you ever contemplate dropping out of high school? Was that an option for you?
No. Did I ever contemplate? Yeah, shit, every day I was in school.
Did you not like
this?
Did you not like school? I mean, but you're interested intellectually. You're a reader now.
No, my problem was I was much smarter than all of my students, my teachers.
Yeah, I'm with you.
David Murdoch dropped out at age 14, man, and that guy's a billionaire. I can't believe Murdoch dropped out. George Furman dropped out.
Here's six people that dropped out of college, never completed it. Pretty interesting.
Oh, there's a lot of them. Yeah. Bill Gates is one of them.
Gates, Steve Jobs, Jobs.
Yeah, Steve Jobs,
Oprah,
all those guys.
Oprah, Mark Zuckerberg, Jay-Z, Lady Gaga.
I wouldn't put her as categories. Back to school. I was bored. I mean, because there was a lot of things I wasn't challenged. It was like, all right. I'm looking for something different, you know? There are some things I wish I could go back and change, because now I see the importance for it.
You know what? For whatever reason, I had it in my head that I was going to go to college, and so I had to, you know, high school was necessary. I never really applied myself, though. I was there more to have a good time than I was to study. And I was always kind of an ABC student. I could get A's in the things I liked, the things I didn't like. It was kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Depending on.
If I really liked the subject, yeah, I'd be getting A's. It was easy for me.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't, if there was something there to bring me in, like draw me in, and I was bored with it, it was like, what do I need to do just to get out of this class?
Exactly. And I could go on my own. I was a C+ without studying. I could get C+s, and so my grades tended to be cyclical. I'd get in a lot of trouble for not applying myself, and then I'd get A's and B's, and then the next quarter I'd be down to B's and C's, and then I'd get in trouble, and then I'd go back. I was not a good student.
You know, most of my teachers were females, so I'd hit on them, and so they loved me, man. So I'd get, like, bonus grades just for being a suck-up.
I
was a good suck-up.
I never had. I don't know that.
I
had Mrs. Muser was my typing teacher. And so.
Yeah,
but she was, like, 60, so I wasn't. I didn't hit
my
on
art
her.
My art teacher was in her. She had just probably got her degree. She
got,
was in her 20s.
She was 19.
No, she was like 22, 24. I mean, she was pretty young.
I know. I had friends. All my friends were like, so I go to an all-boys Catholic high school. So it's a college prep course, right, for the most part. But I had a bunch of my friends were dumbasses, so they were in all the basics classes, right? So you had 60s, 70s, and 80s. 80s were for the smart guys. 70s were for the normal general population. And then 60 classes were for the dumbass. Right, so most of my friends were in dumbass classes, and they had like two of the hottest teachers in the class that taught them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got taught by the best looking teachers in the class, Mrs. Perry, and what was the other one's name? I can't remember. But they'd be like, they would go in those classes, they wouldn't learn shit. They'd be just staring at them the whole time.
My biology teacher, I'm gonna try and say this without getting in trouble. She used to wear like flannel shirts, button-up flannel shirts.
What?
Right.
It was Minnesota,
she was
right?
Very outdoorsy. She was like a woodsy type woman. Long brown flowing hair. Never really kept. Looked like she just came out of the wood picking berries every day. I mean, not a lot of makeup, but she had natural beauty to her.
So kind of like a Minnesota version of Marianne. So you take her off the island.
Yeah.
You put her up in Minnesota, grow her hair a little bit, and get her out of the cutoff jeans, and there she is.
And she had a very rather large bosom. And so she would never button up her shirt all the way.
In a public school?
Down. Yeah, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so she'd come over, and the thing was, in school, was to get a question and bring her over to your table and have her bend over so all your buddies would be like, yeah, Mike, thanks, man. You were like, that was like the thing to do. And the girls in our class were like, you guys are so childish. You know, we're like, what are you talking about? You know exactly what you're doing. We're like, what?
the small.
She just had this.
The small the small victories in a day that make the day better, right? For you and your friends.
Yeah. But then there was one teacher who she was really flirtatious.
Ooh.
But everybody was kind of like, no, no, no. She was our chemistry teacher because she was really small, really short. She had scraggly, like, teeth, like, would stick out. And she was a smoker. And so she was always around you, like, and you're like, I need that smoke. And you're like, oh, no, I got it. I don't need any help. Are you sure? And she'd be, like, hovering. And you're like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah. Ugh. Then we had a big Harley guy. Guy had a beard, went down to, like, his belly button. And I forget his name, but he taught algebra. And he was really cool. But, I mean, he was like a hippie from the 60s. But he was an army guy in Vietnam, I think. Really cool guy. I mean, real cool guy.
Yeah,
we had all sorts of weird characters.
Yeah, we did, man. I had brothers that taught me, Christian brothers. So they're not priests, they're brothers. They take a vow of poverty and chastity, and they live, yeah, exactly. And they teach. And the thing the Christian brothers are noted for is teaching in poor areas of cities and for their discipline. So they would take you down to the gym, and they would put boxing gloves on you. You want to lip off to them, right?
Box a brother.
You think you're a badass when you're 15, right? And I remember my buddy Jim Cooper. We're in religion class. Brother George, right? We're in this trailer because they were renovating a classroom. So we're out in the trailer, and he's got couches shaped in a U. And we were supposed to read some, I don't know, passage from the New Testament, you know. And so he looks at my buddy Jim Cooper, and he says, Jim, what did you think of the passage from last night? And he said, I didn't read it, brother, and I'm trying not to think about it. And he's like, what? I don't know what was up Cooper's ass that day. So Brother George looks at him, and he says, what'd you say? And he says, I didn't read it, brother, and I'm not thinking about it. And he says, Jim, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to apologize to me and for everybody else for being a wise ass. And he said, brother, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think I'm going to do that. This Brother George picked him up, and he threw him over the couch, and he hit the wall. And he slid down, and then Cooper stands up, and he says, brother, I'd like to apologize to you and to everybody in here for being a jackass this morning. And he says, Jim, you're a fine young man. Sit down. All right, who's next? And you know what? That's the best medicine in the world for young punk ass teenagers. Because you act like a punk. You got
treated medicine in the world for anybody.
Yeah, you got treated like a punk, and guess what happened? You stopped acting like a punk. It was good. Our vice principal fought our middle linebacker. And he was going like on a college scholarship, and he thought he could run the school, right? So one day they get into some disagreement. And he says, come on, Bill, let's go to the gym, you and me. And Bill Boughton, I went to grammar school with him. He's a big, tough dude, man. And they go into the gym, and he got his ass beat by Jack Witcher. He came out, got a knots over both of his eyes, but made Bill Boughton a better boy. Tell you that right now.
But you know, at least my high school years aren't filled with me wearing old revolutionary uniforms like some of our friends that went to these military preppy academies. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. My sister was talking about sending her son away to high school because her husband had been sent away to high school. I said, come on, man. Don't do that to your kid. Don't you love him?
Yeah.
I think,
but when you got to wear
high school, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'll tell you one thing that never crossed my mind was going to a military academy. Ever.
I wrote a paper about the Naval Academy in like fifth grade, but it never dawned on me that to go there. You know. I don't know why. Yeah. And this was back in the day, Mike. Do you remember doing projects? You'd have to write a letter to the place, and they might send you information.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I did mine at Chi Chi's Mexican restaurant. They sent me a pin that I could put on my shirt.
What?
A Chi Chi's pin. And
wait.
Like a free dinner.
What are you talking about? You wrote a letter to Chi Chi's restaurant?
Yeah, remember in school you used to write a letter to businesses or something? Right? I wrote to Chi Chi's restaurant. Because the Chi Chi's headquarters was in Minnesota. A Mexican restaurant headquarters, it was a chain,
right,
was in Minnesota. And so I wrote this big letter, and they responded, and they sent me, like, this corporate pin. And, like, this really nice letter, and, like, a free meal for my family. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Chi Chi's Mexican restaurant. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. No, I got a big packet of information back from the Naval Academy. I was all fired up. But it never dawned on me that
I could actually
go there.
I got a free meal, and you got a packet of information.
Yeah. I know, it was stupid.
Who won that one?
Now, did you play any sports in high school? Or were you just like a loser?
I was a loser, Mac.
What sports did you play?
I was a burnout. I was a smoker.
Did you ever smoke
a lot of marijuana?
Did you have a smoking area at your school?
No, but we had the burnout. Did you call them burnouts?
Yep.
Yeah. So we had burnout row on the side. So you had to go out of the commons. It was the lunch area. Go out of the commons, hook a left along this little path. And then where there was no windows, it was called burnout row. And so you'd see all the burnouts. And the burnouts always wore, like, Led Zeppelin concert t-shirts or Metallica t-shirts. Had long hair, baggy jeans, old military, like, field jackets on top of that. You know, they look like, what's his name, from, they looked classic from, what was the movie? Not 16 Candles, but Breakfast Club.
Well, Breakfast Club, or what was the other one?
He had the
Sean Penn.
With the fingers
Sean,
cut off,
yeah,
right?
Sean Penn was in what was a Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, but that guy had the field jacket on. He had the boots unlaced. That was exactly how our burnouts used to dress. You know, and our burnouts were all musicians.
They were
every
all
one of them
good.
Either had a guitar or groupies, wannabe groupies.
Those guys.
No, but I was not a burnout. But I was friends with everybody.
Oh, I could see, totally see that.
We had friends with the burnouts. We had the nerds.
We had a smoking area at my Catholic school. It was a big deal. They put up a petition, and this student council said that they ought to be able to smoke. It's like whatever.
Well, you could smoke. It was illegal. You're underage.
I don't know. They smoked in my high school.
Well, so you could not smoke, but that's why they had to sneak out. But we called it burnout row. Hey, you go to burnout row.
Now that I think about it, how the hell were guys smoking at my school then? And I don't remember being. We had to it was next to the cafeteria, right outside the windows of the cafeteria. Dude smoking.
Well, shit. Where'd you go? Trailer Trash High School?
No. Christian Brothers High School, Sacramento, California.
Smoking high school?
I don't know how they did it. And as I think about it, it wasn't just, like, seniors that smoked. I'm not exactly sure.
What was the age? Well, how old did you have to be to buy cigarettes back in those days?
18,
right?
Yeah. You've always had to be 18.
So, yeah. Schools couldn't let you smoke on the campus.
Does it make sense to you that you can buy a pistol till you're 21, but you could buy a long rifle when you're 18? What's the rationale behind that one?
There is no rationale.
Oh, all right. My bad.
Well, because you're mixing the words. You're trying to apply common sense to some type of politics, right?
I know.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
See how this works?
Yeah, I know. I know. I played the audio from that sheriff in Parkland County saying that he's not responsible for all of it. And I kind of...
Oh, what a... If you... Let me give you hidden advice. Listeners on this podcast, here's... Write this down. I'll wait. Give you a second. Get a piece of pen, paper and a pen and write this one down. Okay? Here we go. If you have to say that you're not responsible, okay? If you have to make that point, then you are a loser. You are more than responsible, and you're a bigger loser than we thought you were. Then you should fire that guy just for that comment. You are responsible for everything at that level. When you're the sheriff of a county, I mean, you think about this. Sheriff of a county, mayor, commissioner, superintendent, right? In the civilian world, those are the top dudes at those levels. There's no county czar. So you're at the top of your food chain. You are responsible. You're responsible for every failure. Every failure. I mean, it's just people that say that. It's just, well, it's not my responsibility. Really? Okay. So it drives me crazy. And then now, if you watch this late night, the late night host,
no,
going after Trump again.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't watch any of that. The no, but do you remember?
I'd like to shoot these guys, man.
Do you remember? Do you remember when you hear that at wherever you hear it in your Marine Corps career, you're responsible for everything your unit does or fails to do? Like,
yeah.
What? What did they just say? Like I get the part of everything they do, but I'm still responsible for what they don't do too? Like, isn't that a little broad, boys and girls? Like, I'm new to all this, but this sounds crazy. And it's just, and you hear this guy, and he's saying, like, he's like, yeah, I'm not, you know, it was my responsibility to give him a gun. It was my responsibility to give them, it was my responsibility to train them, right? What they did, that's their responsibility. What?
No, it's not. It's still your responsibility. That's the killer, man. I love that. What are you talking about? If that guy goes out and kills an innocent person while on duty, it's your responsibility. If he goes out and gets a DUI, it's your responsibility. People are like, well, that's not fair. That's the point, idiot.
It ain't
when
fair.
You're a leader. It isn't fair. You're a leader. You take it.
Right. And what he should have said was, yeah, it's my responsibility. Their failures are my failures and blah, blah, blah. But hold on. Let me just play this audio, right? In case you haven't heard
it. Wait, before you say that, let me just say that before I lose my, cause I'm on pay coach.
Oh my God.
I would have laughed my ass off. You're a victim. If a battalion commander would have walked up to General Mickelson and said, sir, I'm not responsible for that Marine that got the DUI over the weekend. Oh, dude, I would have been like, I would have rolled out the plastic sheet myself.
Exactly.
So there would have been no blood splatter on the carpet.
Exactly. All right, listen to this.
As I said, I'm the sheriff. My name's on the door. The people responsible are the ones who took the calls and didn't follow up on them. Leaders are responsible for the agency, but leaders are not responsible for a person. I gave him a gun. I gave him a badge. I gave him the training. If he didn't have the heart to go in, that's not my responsibility.
Oh, string that. This guy... I cannot believe, and he's one of the very few that I'll say that, because he wears a uniform of a person, he's a sickening, it's sickening, it's disgusting, it's pathetic, he needs to step aside. If people don't see that, and I don't know if he is a cop by nature, if he's just one of those people that ran for office and got it. You know, because sheriff, that can wait. It can happen. But that, to me, if that's the way our people are starting to believe that leadership is, you know what? I hired them. I gave them all the training. But because you can't perform, it's not my responsibility.
Sure. Yeah.
I got him as a new joint. I gave him my speech of not to drink and drive, but he went out and drank it. He went out and did it anyway. And so his DUI is not my responsibility. He would have been fired. That lieutenant colonel wouldn't have left the office. He wouldn't have been allowed to go back to his battalion, and his personal belongings would have been sent to his house. The phone call from the chief would have been to the XO and said, "Hey, you got it. It's yours now. Congratulations." "Got what, sir?" "The battalion. The battalion's yours. Go ahead and put your name on the sign out front."
What happened? But it is, when you hear that,
your boss ain't coming home.
It's just stunning. And so now they're investigating all the different contacts that this department has, because I was talking about an article that's was in the Miami Herald a couple of days ago with all these other law enforcement people saying, look at the calls they went on. Look at the threats this kid made. They had reason to arrest him. They had reason to charge him, and they didn't do it. And then social services layer that on top of it. You know, the fact that now as we're peeling all this stuff back, he brought ammunition to school. He brought knives to school. Like, at what point? You know, and I mean, can you imagine Mike being one of the parents that buried a daughter? It's like, this is not like he's like a sore thumb sticking out there. This is like having your leg completely infected and swollen sticking out there. It ain't a thumb.
Good.
And the FBI misses it not once, but twice. These idiots miss it. And then, right, then you have four different police officers that don't go inside the building. And the first person in people in the building are the guys from the city of Doral.
Yeah, a completely different jurisdiction.
Yeah, they're the ones. That's why this is all bubbled up. They got there and they were pissed. They were like, "What are you doing?" And they go inside. And then there was a quote, I want to say from the middle of last week, somebody said, at some point the truth is going to come out, and it's going to be a bit eye-opening for people. And those police officers were pissed. But, I mean, if you're a parent, you had all of that, and my kid's dead? And that's why I started playing that guy.
And you blame President Trump.
Yeah, it's the guns. You know?
You blame the NRA, yeah.
Right. And again, maybe there is things we need to do relative to firearms to tighten them up. We certainly need to enhance the connection between your mental health history and your ability to get a firearm. That's without a doubt. But again,
yeah.
Columbine was done with shotguns, right? Virginia Tech done with a pistol. This one done with an AR-15. Okay, so weapons are out there. And by hook or crook, if you're determined to do it, it, history teaches us that somebody will get a weapon. And so I had a talk with my oldest daughter last night, and she goes, "I know your solution is guns in the school, arm the teachers." And I said, "Well, just think, if I was a teacher," she said, "but you're not." I said, "But if I was, why wouldn't I, you know, why wouldn't I be armed?" Right? I said, okay, but if you as a school district are uncomfortable with that, then hire 10 cops and have 5 of them be on campus for 4 hours a day and the other 5 come for the other 4 hours. I'm okay with that.
Well,
but here's what you can't do. We can't have this happen again. Every school has to secure itself. Every school has to have people that can get there within 120 seconds. Okay, at a sprint to intervene and stop it. Okay? Because, again, what's distressing as we both sit here and talk about this is this is going to happen again. And the people that it happens.
And again.
People that it happens to next time should look at their school board and say, "Why didn't you protect my 15-year-old child?" Okay? Why didn't you protect that? You protected the school district.
Oh, here it is right here, man.
You protected the school district building. There's two security cops there, for God's sakes.
Yeah, they're asking for him to quit now. They want him out, the sheriff, from the news.
Oh, well, he should be.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start to peel it back and you see that, and again, Mike, we know, look, you're responsible for it. Everything your unit does and fails to do, you're responsible. And they're investigating all these different aspects of his department, but it's not him. No,
it's not him. He just said it wasn't.
Yeah.
He was the lead, he's the man in charge. It's not him. This is his deputies.
Yeah.
They get to make it, yeah. They made the wrong play. I mean, so again, how would you like to work for a guy that's so quickly to hang you out to dry?
You know what he's a combination of? He's a combination of Judas, not Judas, but St. Peter, right, when he denies that he knows Christ three times and then the cock crows. And then Pontius Pilate, who washes his hands of it. Not my responsibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Give them to, I don't want to do them, have them judged by
the
people.
Yeah. Do with him what you may. Right? It's not my responsibility. You know, and if that is such a sorry ass excuse for a leader, that, let me tell you, if his conduct before the event wasn't bad, his conduct since the event, first of all, going to that.
They don't go bad though, Mac. They just don't go bad overnight like this. He's always been this way. You know it.
No, I know that. You're right. Now, you know what, Mike? That's a great point. There's people that don't like this guy and haven't liked him forever and are watching this going, I so told you so that this was going to happen one day. He's a politician masquerading as a law enforcement officer.
As a leader.
And he's played this game before. And so if his conduct before the event doesn't merit him being relieved, his conduct since the event certainly does. Going to that made-for-TV CNN event... And then him berating, right? You know, the NRA people there. Hey, what did my mom tell me? When you point a finger at somebody else, three fingers point back at you.
Yep.
So, anyway. All right, what else do you have? First of all, give us an update on your health. Are you feeling better?
I mean, first of all, the bump stocks are gone. So, if you have a bump stock, you better go turn it in because they're going to be looking for you. They're gonna. President Trump is gonna actually ban those himself. He already said, those things are gone. I'll write it my own. So that will be an executive order. And I agree with that. So if you got one, you better turn it in. Because if I know you got one, I'm gonna turn you in.
Yeah, you know, and this whole notion that, you know, people like guns on demand. That's not how serious sportsmen, serious hunters, collectors, that's not how they do it. So.
No, and that's what bugs me. That's why I'm uncomfortable with. You know, I see all these, like, modified way to do this or circumvent the law to do this. I'm like, stop it, you guys. Be a responsible gun owner. You know? I just hate it when things like that surface because then it tarnishes all of us, the ones that are responsible, that follow the rules and the laws, and kind of believe that, there should be more rules when it comes to background checks, and there should be more, you know, encompassing of mental health issues and things like that. And so maybe some good will come out of this. Hell, I always tell them, come after the guns. Come after all the guns. Come on the TV tonight and say, starting tomorrow morning, we're going to come after all of your guns. You have 24 hours to turn in all your guns to local law enforcement. Because we need a spark.
Oh, you want for the revolution. You know,
for the torches. No, I'm not talking about a revolution.
For the torch, pitchforks and torches?
Yeah, for pitchforks and torch parties.
See, this is the kind of shit that I think people are talking about, but that we don't want to talk about. Nicholas Cruz, right? He's a shooter, right? Refused to let the district continue providing him with mental health services after he turned 18, and the superintendent of schools says federal law kept them from doing anything about it. So you have somebody that's threatened and menaced people. He turns 18, and that guy somehow or other doesn't get flagged in a system.
Yeah.
The more you see of it on a daily basis, the worse it gets.
Well, because of HIPAA, there's all sorts of bullshit out there. The HIPAA laws, all this other shit, these ACLU, small interest groups that protect people's rights and privacies, you know. Like I said, Mac, there's groups of people that are defending pedophiles that have killed children and raped children, and they still defend them thinking they have rights. No. There's a certain point in my book, you lose your rights as an American, and if you continue to press that, you lose your rights as a human being.
Because you're a predator. No, Mike and I went through this, a week or so ago? We're all living in the colony inside the walls of the fort, and Mike has a bunch of guns, and we all like Mike, and we think he's really funny, but he's starting out crazy, and he's threatened three people. Do we, as the village elders, do we not go over him and confiscate his weapons? Absolutely we do.
Yeah.
Or you've got to leave. Because we band together as a group for our mutual protection. And your right to be a part of the group doesn't trump our right to be safe. And
right.
We have a problem. That needs to be, when you cross those lines, when you threaten people, you need to, you begin to lose your rights. And that is the right of the collective. And it's, you know, what about the rights of those 17 kids and those adults that were killed? I mean, what about their rights?
Yeah.
So, anyway. Right. All right, give us an update on your health.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just on painkillers. So, when I was really bad sick, I had really bad coughing attacks. I mean, to the point where I was tearing my esophagus up. I was coughing up blood. And then, I don't know how I did it, but coughing, I tore the muscle wall on my kidney side, my abdomen. And so now I have to heal. So that's why I'm in excruciating pain. I couldn't dance. So dancing's out. I can't dance. I can't lift anything. And if I go, I'm going to go try and drive. But if the wife finds out I was out driving, she's going to kill me. So
really?
I have to wait.
So it's the pain from the tearing of your abdominal wall?
Yeah, that's what put me in the hospital.
And that was brought on simply by your influenza?
Yeah, that's a good name for it. The flu.
The flu. Yeah, no, influenza is what it is. All right, man. Well, it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's good to be heard.
All right. Well, have a good day. I recorded tomorrow, instead of you. Everybody's going to hear for the first time, Battle Study. And Chris Bronzy, for about an hour and 40 minutes talks about April 6th and 7th, when he's the commander of Golf Company 2-4 in the city of Ramadi in 2004.
I thought you were going to have Chris Bronzy do a battle study like on Gettysburg. I was like,
no.
You're going to try and put everybody to sleep?
No. It's going to be guys talking about, things they know, you know, things they've lived and done. And just,
But it's a recording?
Yep. Hour and 40 minutes. Pretty interesting. And you know him.
I wanted to call in and make Chris do that.
No, it's in there. Trust me.
Oh, it is.
You'll hear the laugh. Yeah, you'll hear the laugh that you've never heard before in your life. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, man. Have a good day.
I'll talk to her.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman right here on a Tuesday edition of Ball Marine Radio. All right, with that done, this program repeats itself momentarily. Tomorrow, you will hear our first ever battle study, and looking forward to it. And the way it works is this. There'll be a map I'll put up on the website, later on today. And, as he's talking, if you have the map up, you'll be able to follow, kind of the track of the fight that they got into in April of 2004. And in the city of Ramadi in the Al Anbar province. So, I don't know if Mike was there yet. I was across the river this day and Mike might have been there. I thought Mike got there April, May time frame, but we'll find out. Anyway, yeah, don't miss that. Excited to do it. And then the other thing I think you're going to hear is something that Bob Nielsen sent me, and it's about Vietnam, and it's about historical facts of Vietnam. And pretty interesting. So you'll either hear that or Grant Newsham, one of the two. So with all that said, have a great afternoon on a Tuesday. As I said, this program repeats itself momentarily, so don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio. Out.